And now,
great to be back.
Back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
Awesome.
And your host, Bill Frank.
Welcome back. Twitter is set to launch its initial public offering later this week, and it's expected to raise $1 billion, depending on the IPO price. Twitter's estimated market capitalization is between $17 billion and $20 billion. Yet, like so many internet companies before, Twitter makes no money. It generated a $69 million loss on revenue of $254 million for the first 6 months of 2013. Why then is Twitter's IPO so highly anticipated by Wall Street investors? With me to discuss this is CNBC's crack journalist covering media and technology, Julia Boorstin. Julia has covered media for CNBC since 2006. Her reporting provides a special focus on the intersection of media and technology. She graduated from Princeton University with a BA in history, and Julia was also an editor of the Daily Princetonian, joining us from Southern California. Welcome back to the show, Julia. How are you today?
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on to talk about this exciting IPO.
Well, it is exciting. There's a lot of interest out there in the investor community today, and many of my listeners remember the problems surrounding the troubled Facebook IPO that happened just recently. So in what ways is the Facebook botched IPO impacting Twitter's impending IPO?
Well, I think it's impacting it in that Twitter has really tried to do everything as differently as possible. Twitter, for instance, is doing a shorter roadshow. They have only increased the value or the size of the IPO slightly. They increased it by a couple of dollars, whereas Facebook repeatedly raised its target price. So I think that Twitter has basically been trying to play it a lot safer. It's a much smaller company with a much smaller IPO, and they're trying to make sure that they don't have any of the disasters that Facebook did, in part by listing on a different exchange. Facebook listed on the NASDAQ. Twitter is listing on the New York Stock Exchange. And this New York Stock Exchange has taken great pains to make sure that everything goes very smoothly on Thursday when it starts trading.
Well, it has, and that's an interesting comment that you bring up about the difference between the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ has had its problems over the years with troubled, as recently as August the 22nd, with troubles in its trading platform. Was that part of the fundamental decision to go with the NYSE, or was it simply not to do what Facebook had done before?
Well, my sources tell me that, you know, Twitter did evaluate both of its options. It met with both NASDAQ and New York Stock Exchange representatives. But at the end of the day, it simply thought that it would be a wiser idea to list on the New York Stock Exchange. And it seems like no matter what they say on the record, the decision to avoid the NASDAQ with its technical difficulties must have been influenced by Facebook's debacle.
Well, that's interesting because you normally think of the NASDAQ as being much more tech heavy and the New York Stock Exchange, if you will, being old line and old school. But it brings up the interesting point about both platforms, whether it's the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ. When you get a highly anticipated, highly traded stock like a Facebook or like a Twitter, how does that impact the trading volumes, especially when high frequency trading kicks in?
Well, we certainly expect to see very high trading volumes on Thursday, and the New York Stock Exchange has actually says it's done a number of tests to prepare for those trading volumes, and they have a lot of people and computer systems on the lookout to make sure everything goes smoothly.
Well, on Thursday, my sources tell me that the Twitter IPO is oversubscribed at this point. So my question to you is, based on what you hear from your sources, are these early buyers investors or are they flippers?
Well, you know, I can't answer that question because I don't know what people are thinking, but it'll be really interesting to see. I mean, I think the reason why one invests in Twitter, if you are investing for the long haul, is not because of its current business. You know, as you noted, the company is generating a lot of revenue, about $422 million the first 9 months of the year, but it is not profitable. People, if they do decide to invest, would be buying the stock because they think it has massive growth potential. You know, with a stock like this where there's been so much anticipation, there's always potential for people who are just going to be day trading. But I do think there are a lot of people who really believe that this stock really has legs to run.
My guest is Julia Boorstin from CNBC. And Julia, you brought up the whole idea of Twitter and how it makes money. So for my listeners who may not be as familiar with Twitter as you are, how does Twitter make its money?
Well, a lot of people use Twitter and don't even notice the ads. That's because Twitter ads are designed to be as subtle as possible. Twitter has three different kinds of ads. One is called a promoted tweet, which basically is like a regular tweet that any brand or consumer would write, but is promoted by the company. So the company makes sure it gets in front of a certain demographic of people. Then there's a promoted trend, so where Twitter lists what topics are trending. You know, right around there, they would list a promoted trend. So let's say on Thursday, you know, it would be NFL Thursday nights, and you could click to learn more about what football game would be on that Thursday. So That's another way a company can pay to get its information in front of you. And then the third one is promoted accounts. If you're, say, Xerox, and you want to reach people who are in businesses, maybe making some purchasing decisions, you can promote your account to, you know, pay to get those people to look at your account and say, hey, you want to follow Xerox to learn more information about them. The whole thing here that's interesting is that Twitter only makes money. It only charges its marketers if people engage with a tweet. So if I'm Bank of America and I promote a tweet about my small business accounts, I'm only going to pay Twitter based on how many people click or retweet, et cetera. And it's designed so the more engaging your ad is, the less you have to pay per user impression.
And the whole idea of paying for pay for play, the click-through rate, is great from an advertiser's point of view. But something that you said earlier in that answer, Julia, disturbs me. And that was that most Twitter users don't notice the promoted content.
But that actually could be a great thing. Because, because if you – promoted content can be engaging. I mean, you might see an ad from 1-800-Flowers, and maybe it's a great deal for flowers for Mother's Day. You might retweet that to share it with your friends without realizing that 1-800-Flowers paid to put that in front of you. So people could even be interacting with these tweets because they feel like content, not like ads.
My guest is Julia Boorstin from CNBC. And Julia, CNBC and AP teamed up together to conduct a poll about the Twitter IPO. What were some of the more remarkable findings that you got from that survey?
Well, there were a couple of different interesting types of results. I mean, this, one of the things that the study did is it examined investor sentiment about the upcoming IPO. Now, 40% of active investors say Twitter would be a good investment. 49% say they do not think it would be a good investment. Now, this contrasts with the research that a similar poll that AP and CNBC did before Facebook's IPO back in May 2012. That poll found 54% of active investors thought Facebook would be a good investment. That's obviously much more than the 40% who say the same about Twitter. Now, of course, a lot has changed since then. Maybe people felt burned by the Facebook IPO, but that's an interesting contrast. Now, more big picture, 19% of Americans say they have a favorable impression of Twitter. And that's actually down from the positive 27% of people who viewed Twitter positively back in May 2012.
And help stack rank that for us compared to, say, Facebook or Google Plus or LinkedIn, some of the other social media sites. Where does Twitter actually rank in customers' favorability polling?
Well, it's you know, it's ranked in various different ways. So it's not just apples and oranges, but in terms of total favorable, Facebook is definitely ranked higher than Twitter.
Without a doubt. And even Google Plus and LinkedIn were ranked higher than Twitter was, which I found remarkable since Google Plus has about the same number of users as Twitter does.
Google Plus does, although people use Google Plus in a very different way. It's possible to use Google Plus passively because so many people use other Google services. You know, people might use it to share photos and not really to communicate directly with friends or other people. In the way with Twitter, you have to sort of opt in. Although it's interesting to note that not all Twitter users are actually posting on it. One of the most interesting facts I found in the survey was the fact that about half of people who either have a Twitter account or use Twitter to read other people's tweets, or they're just lurkers. They're never sending tweets of their own. They're just reading other people's tweets. So they're just on there to sort of use Twitter as a newsfeed without contributing content.
I found that very interesting. And another point that I found both interesting and troubling was among the prime age group for using Twitter's 18 to 34-year-olds, 52% of those people polled believe that Twitter is a bad investment. What does that say?
Well, it raises a lot of questions about whether you need the people who use your service to be the investors in your service. So, I mean, it basically says that this could say a lot about the demographic and the generation, but also says that maybe they don't think that Twitter's going to be making a lot of money off of them.
That could very well be. My guest is Julia Boorstin. Julia, as we look at Twitter and we look to the future, Twitter puts a line in the sand and says that 2015 is going to be a pivotal year for the company. Why do they choose 2015? What's so magical about that year?
Well, I think that there are a lot of different ways to do it. I think there's a sense that the company will be profitable in 2015, but a lot could change between now and then. I mean, Twitter has laid out a lot of different areas where it wants to grow. It's building up its international sales team. It's talked about making more TV partnerships. It's done some big hires in the retail space. It's hired a big commerce chief to help build out Twitter commerce. So I think there are a lot of areas where Twitter wants to invest to grow. And as it's investing to grow, that means it's going to take a while before it's profitable.
And how important is mobile to Twitter's overall growth strategy?
Oh, Twitter is all about mobile. It's interesting because unlike Facebook, which has zero mobile revenue, when it filed to go public, Twitter, it was from day one a mobile company. It was built to work within the SMS texting service. So there was no sense of Twitter having to become mobile. Twitter is inherently mobile. So it's a company that really has the advantage of working easily, seamlessly on mobile devices. It doesn't have to try to work on mobile devices. You could do it no matter how fancy or basic your mobile phone is. So, you know, it's a company that has more than half its revenue coming from, or more than half its advertising revenue coming from mobile. In fact, the company says in the most recent quarter, in the third quarter, 76% of monthly active users access Twitter from a mobile device. Over 70% of the company's advertising revenue was generated from mobile.
So Twitter has mobile pretty well covered. Where does video fit into Twitter's future?
Well, you can embed video in tweets, and it's made a lot of deals with TV partners, both broadcasters and sort of content partners, to embed more video. So we will expect to see more video. The thing about video is it doesn't always work as well on mobile. You got great reception and you have an iPhone, it could work well, but not everyone is going to get as good video reception on Twitter.
My guest is Julia Boorstin from CNBC. And Julia, if people are intrigued by Twitter, they want to keep up with all the latest information about the IPO, which happens later this week, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
Well, of course, CNBC.com has a ton of information. You can follow me on Twitter, at Jay Boorstin. And Twitter itself, it's good to follow Twitter, at Twitter. They tweet out updates and stats and interesting details. That's also where they first announced that they'd confidentially filed to go public.
All right. One final question before I let you go, Julia. We in the media, journalists, really like Twitter because it is a great source of information and what's trending out there. How much of this journalistic bias that because we use the tool do we have in covering the story of Twitter's IPO? Are we genuinely jaundicing our reporting of the IPO itself because
we
use it?
I think, look, I use it myself. I think it has become a way that a lot of people, not just journalists, access the news. It is the news feed in the mobile news feed in the modern day. But I think that, you know, despite the fact that we may be biased because we use it, I think it is legitimately a massive service. I mean, 232 million monthly active users is obviously not as big as Facebook, which has over a billion, but it is a real force. And especially when it comes to communicating in real time about political events like the Arab Spring or about something that's, an event like the bombing in Boston around the Boston Marathon. This is how news gets out. In fact, when there was the recent shooting at LAX, the first way I found out about it was people tweeting about it on Twitter.
As did I. My guest has been Julia Boorstin from CNBC. Julia, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Absolutely my pleasure.